We continue with our series on the Christian soldier, and this afternoon we want to read from Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah chapter 52, and then after that we will read Ephesians chapter 6 verse 14. Isaiah 52, we read the 15 verses. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye, when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart ye, go ye out from tents, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your reward. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently, he shall be exalted and extolled, and be very high. As many will astonish at thee, his visage was so marked more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations, the kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Amen. We want to read also Ephesians chapter 6 verse 14. Which will be the text for the sermon this afternoon. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 15, not 14, verse 15. Let me begin with verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet short with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now this afternoon we want to consider another piece of the Christian armor, and we want to look at the Christian's shoes or sandals or boots. The text here in verse 15 directs our attention to the soldier's feet. The feet of the ancient soldier is not nicely covered with boots, not comfortable shoes, but nevertheless steady, secure. In fact, ancient soldiers put on sandals, or what some commentators call half boots, made of leather with two leather straps that cover the shin and the ankle. And one commentator, quoting Josephus, a very trustworthy Jewish historian, said that the sandals of the Roman soldier at the bottom of the sole also has studded sharp nails. And this gives the ancient Roman soldier steadiness. And with that steadiness, that soldier is ready to move into the battlefield, move into all kinds of terrain to fight. And here the Apostle Paul uses this figure to teach us something about Christian readiness. He says here in this verse, "And your feet shod with the readiness of the gospel of peace." In other words, Paul here is teaching us our feet must be ready to move for the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be ready, our feet must be strapped with a mind that is prompt, with a preparation to enter into the battlefield. Paul says here with this figure, we must be ready at all times. Ready to do what? Ready to preach the gospel. Ready to enter into the battlefield with the gospel of peace. So although the figure here speaks about feet and shoes, this is only a figure. And the key idea here in this text is readiness, Christian readiness. Are we ready, prompt to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Ready to move into the battlefield with the gospel? And so this is our theme this afternoon, ready to move with the gospel of peace. Three things we want to consider. First of all, as Christian soldiers, we bring into the battlefield a gospel of peace. Then secondly, we need to be ready because of oppositions, because of very difficult terrains. And then thirdly, we are made ready according to this text by the gospel of peace. So first of all, looking at this text, we want to say something about entering into the battlefield with the gospel of peace. The text says, your feet must be shod, must be covered with the preparation, that is the readiness of the gospel of peace. Look at your feet. God made them for what purpose? Children, are you able to answer the question? God does not give us feet only to rest them on the couch, or nicely rest our feet on one awesome foot massager. God gave us feet to move from place to place, so that we can bring the gospel from people to people, nation to nations. I believe here Paul, when he was writing this verse, he was thinking about the passage that we just read in Isaiah 52. Turn back to Isaiah 52. There the prophet Isaiah tells us about beautiful feet in verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Isaiah the prophet here pictures the feet of preachers running to bring good news, to publish the message of peace to the nations, to proclaim to the world the kingdom of God, that is, God reigns. Now, striking that Apostle Paul also uses this passage in his letter to the church in Rome to speak about the importance of preaching to the nations. Paul was discussing about preaching in Romans 10, and then when he was speaking about preaching, he uses this passage to tell us about the importance of preaching the gospel to the nations. How shall they hear unless they be sent? And so Paul uses this passage in Romans 10 to speak about going, moving into the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul was writing this verse, Ephesians 6:15, he also was thinking about that same passage, Isaiah 52. But here in verse 15, Paul was speaking to all Christians. He's not thinking about preachers now. He's thinking about all Christians, because here he tells us that all Christians are engaged in a spiritual warfare. We all are to fight against the devil and principalities and powers. And here he says, we all must put on sandals that take us into the battlefield, ready to bear the gospel for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is an important lesson. We don't just set up preachers to bring the gospel to others. Yes, we are involved in missions. We should send our preachers to other lands. But here we are also to bring the gospel to others and to bring the gospel in the battlefield. Our feet, in other words, are to move for the gospel. Now when we think about a battlefield, because the context here is a battlefield, when we think about a battlefield, we think of fighting. We think of blood. We think of conflict. Spiritually speaking, the battlefield means that we have to defend the faith. We have to stand on the side of Christ to fight against the attacks of the enemy. There's conflict, there's fighting, there's defending to do. But while we do all this and defend the faith and the gospel, here this verse tells us we are to, at the same time, bear the gospel in the battlefield. Striking, isn't it? The context here is warfare. And Paul says, put on boots so that you can move into the battlefield. For what purpose? To bear the gospel of peace. Now all Christians, of course, are asked to defend the faith. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us that whenever someone asks you for a reason of the hope that is in you, speak for Christ. Give an apology, give a defense for the faith. Every one of you are supposed to do that. But then now Christians are also expected to evangelize. It is easy for us as a Reformed Church to speak with others only to want to defend our distinctives. But we are also required and expected to talk to others, to bring the gospel to others. Is defending the faith the only activity that we do and you do? What about preaching the gospel? What about evangelizing the lost? What about winning souls for the Lord Jesus Christ? So here is striking, isn't it? As here Paul speaks about defending the faith in the context of spiritual warfare, he tells us that we must put on shoes, move into the battlefield to preach and to bear the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. The relationship between defending the faith and evangelism is important. The two must go together. We mustn't just defend the faith and then use our clever arguments in order to win the case. In defending the faith, we must positively present the gospel. And as we bear the gospel and present the gospel to others, to those who are non-Christians, we will also be challenged by their worldviews. They will question our Christianity. They will challenge our claims. And as we bear the gospel, we also must defend the gospel. So the two are very intimately connected, defending the faith and evangelizing the gospel. And so here Paul says, your feet must put on sandals and boots of readiness. Be ready to enter into the battlefield to preach the gospel. Now there's a reason why I want to emphasize these two important activities and the relationship of these two activities, defending the faith and evangelism. First of all, again, I want to stress this, it is easy for a conservative, fundamental, Reformed church to do only defending the faith. And all that we do is have a meeting, defend our distinctives. What about preaching the gospel, winning the lost? Are we also earnest in that activity? And secondly, I want to stress the importance of these two activities because commentators sometimes are not so sure and they are not clear about what this verse exactly teaches. Look at this verse carefully. It says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. There are two ways to read this. There are some who say the meaning is this: our feet must be strapped with readiness. Our feet must put on readiness to bring the gospel to others. So the preparation of the gospel of peace means be prepared to bring the gospel to others. And the emphasis here is evangelism. Evangelism. Those who take this view are people like Lansky, or a more contemporary writer like John Piper. The emphasis here is evangelism. Be ready to bring the gospel of peace to others certainly includes this. But there's another way to read this verse. That is, the sandals of readiness, which is produced by the gospel of peace. Put on readiness, which is produced by the gospel of peace. This is quite a different reading and interpretation. Calvin takes this position. William Hendrickson takes this position. I take this position. In other words here, Paul is emphasizing that every Christian person must be ready. How do you become ready? The gospel produces this readiness. But still, it is an incomplete idea. Ready for what? Ready to bear the gospel of peace to others. You see, the two are very closely related. Teenagers, young people, when you go to school, you defend the faith, people will challenge you. Don't argue. Don't use your clever arguments. Positively present the gospel. Does God believe exists? Yes, He does. The Bible says so. Presents the gospel in a better field. What is the gospel? The gospel is, here in this text, the gospel of peace. The message that we bring into the better field is a message of peace. This is, of course, quite different from what we see in the world around us. When a military unit moves into the war zone, into the battlefield, it moves with aggression. It moves with a mission to seek and to destroy, to hunt down the enemy, to kill them all. But when a Christian moves into the battlefield, he moves into the war zone with a gospel of peace, to bring sinners to the cross of Jesus Christ, so that sinners can find reconciliation with God. And that is the message of Ephesians. Paul, so many times in Ephesians, in chapter 2 for example, he emphasizes that Jesus Christ is peace. He breaks down the partition and the wall, and he brings both Jews and Gentiles to God. The message is a message of peace and reconciliation. So we bring into the battlefield a gospel of peace. So the key idea here is readiness. Our first point, ready to do what? To bring that gospel into the battlefield. But still the key idea, like I said in this verse, is readiness. Paul is speaking about Christian readiness as we think about the spiritual warfare. We need to be ready. And to explain this readiness, Paul mentions about putting on boots and sandals. Just as soldiers put on boots and special shoes to enter into the battlefield, so must we put on readiness as we enter into this spiritual warfare. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Shoes. Shoes are for special purposes. Shoes are to prepare the feet for different activities. Some shoes are for sports. If you play soccer, for example, you want to get a pair of shoes with studs. And even when you play soccer, let's say out on a hard court, for example, street soccer, you do not want to put on studs. You want to put on at least a shoe with a flat rubber base. So, shoes are for special purposes. If you go to work, you put on a dress shoe. And when soldiers, when they go out to fight in wars, they put on shoes that are sturdy, that are strong, that can protect their ankle so that it is not injured easily when it moves in very tough terrain. And Paul uses this figure to teach us readiness. Again, I mentioned at the introduction that the Roman soldier in ancient times put on a kind of sandals, which is half a boots, just two leather straps strapped around the ankle and then the shin, just like the Teva sandals that some of you wear. Just straps, open, with your two toes exposed, but at the same time very firm and very sturdy. And then at the bottom of the sole is studded with spikes, so that when the soldiers move, they can have a very good traction. According to Josephus, he said that was how Alexander the Great moved his soldiers. He prepared for his soldiers special half boots with spikes that could climb up the very hilly terrains so that they can conquer the enemies and be very steady in their fighting. Question now is, what kind of boots or sandals that does the text want the Christian soldier to put on? Sandals of readiness. Let me give you a definition of readiness. Readiness, according to a dictionary, is this: prepared or available for service, action or progress. It is to be mentally disposed and willing to do something. It is prompt in reacting to something. It is to carry out something immediately. And all these are important ideas related to readiness. In other words, the Christian soldier must be prepared to act. He must be prepared to move with the gospel. He must be prompt to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He must be willing in his Christian service. He must be willing to stand on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. He must be ready to overcome temptations. Prompt to act, quick to react. Now, how important is this ready spirit as we think about fighting the Christian warfare? How important is readiness in the Christian life? Now let's ask the question, how important is a good pair of shoes? You play sports, some of you. How important is a good pair of shoes that fit nicely? What if your feet is size 7? You buy a pair of boots that's size 9. You put it on so it doesn't fit, you put on 3 pairs of socks. Hopefully you can get a very firm kick. The ball cannot go very far. What if you are a soldier serving the national service and you go to war, and then your boots, after walking up and down the terrain, the sole is torn? Can you go very far? How important is a good pair of shoes? Now, you must think of an ancient Roman soldier. When they enter into the battlefield, they are not transported by 3 tunnels. They march for long distance. They march for a long time, sometimes days. And they're only wearing half a boot, sandals, their toes exposed. If they do not have a good pair of strong, steady sandals that is hardy and that gives them stability, then their feet will be hurt and injured very easily. They cannot go very far. And the enemy can, of course, easily overtake them. How important is a good pair of shoes? How important is Christian readiness? If the ancient soldier has a good pair of shoes, he can move up and down all kinds of terrain. And if the Christian soldier is ready, equipped with readiness, He can move up and down and into all kinds of spiritual terrains. I want to use that figure. And I want to borrow the images from a very popular book that I think our young people here also have read it. I want to borrow figures from Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. Think of now a Christian soldier moving into the battlefield. Think of Christian as he makes his progress. As Christian makes his progress, he comes into many terrains, many kinds of experiences he has. And I want to borrow those images to explain to you how important it is to be ready in a Christian life. Not long after Christian left that city of destruction, he came to a very muddy terrain. Remember that, children? And that muddy terrain in that book by John Bunyan was called the Pond of Despondency. And one of those who followed Christian sank into that muddy pit. And he was crying out in despair, "Help me, I'm sinking. It's quicksand." And the devil does that many times as we move into the battlefield, as we go on in a Christian life. He sets pawns of despondency so that we fall into despair and depression. He does that in order to destroy and to damage our Christian faith. But if we are ready, and if we are equipped with readiness and promptness, and we expect that to happen, then we can avoid that easily. Walk over the pit, go around, avoid the pit altogether. Christian readiness helps us to avoid despair and disappointment and discouragements. And then as Christian goes on, after that muddy terrain, he came to a few hilly mountains. Where up he went, one of these hilly mountains. And at the top of the mountain, there was a castle. Children, remember? The name of the castle was the Castle of Doubt. And as Christian went up that hilly terrain and he went up to that castle, there was a giant. And he was frightened as he beheld the sight of that giant. Immediately his face sank. After going up that mountain, he used all his energy, he got tired and exhausted. He saw that giant, he was discouraged. He doubted, "Can my faith overcome such a giant?" The devil does that as we enter into the battlefield. He sets hilly terrain, and when we go up that terrain, we feel discouraged. Up and down, it's exhausting, it's tiring. NS Man complains about that. In Tekong, there's a very famous hill called Botak Hill. Botak because it's bored, nothing, hilly. Soldiers have to go up and down, it's exhausting. And soldiers complain about that. Want to give up, tired, no endurance. Devil does that. Sometimes in our life, he puts obstacles and oppositions to bring us down, to want to make us give up our faith. We must be ready. We must be prepared. And then as Christian moves on, after the giant, he overcome that giant of doubt, he came down the valley. He came into an urban setting. Quite a contrast. After that fight with that giant, he came to a valley, an urban setting, a marketplace. There were people shopping. There were people making merry. It was a very nice place to visit because there are many pleasures. And John Bunyan described that urban setting as Vanity Fair. And the devil there tabled all kinds of pleasures for Christian and his travelers. The devil does that. As we move into the battlefield, there are many pleasurable things that the devil puts before us to destroy and damage our faith. We must be ready not to enter into this vanity fair, but to avoid it altogether. And then after that, he went to another terrain. It was dark, hard to see. But laying ambush at that dark terrain was a person who is an enemy called Apollyon, the devil himself. And that Christian has to fight Apollyon, and he was not ready. He was defeated many times because he was fighting against Satan himself. And there are times like this when the devil takes us into dark terrain. We cannot see what is ahead. But laying ambush are all kinds of devilish tactics and things and strategies. We must overcome that. We must be ready. What I'm trying to tell you, brethren, is this. In the battlefield, there are many difficulties, oppositions that the devil puts before us. Are you ready to face those difficulties? Are you prompt in your attack? So the text tells us your feet must be strapped with a readiness, a preparedness, which is produced by the gospel of peace. How do you get this ready spirit? How do you become prepared to fight in the Christian warfare? The text here says it is the gospel that makes us ready and prepared to fight for Christ. How do we have this readiness of mind and will? Now the army here in Singapore prepares our young men for battle by instilling in them strict discipline, by putting them through a very rigorous exercise. And then sometimes they throw them into the open field. And in the past, not so much today, in the past, our young men even train with live bullets. Scary, isn't it? To think of your children, 18, 19 years old, out in field training, firing with live bullets. That was what we did in National Service. Some got killed, nothing reported. How do we then prepare people, Christian people, to be ready in mind and spirit? Now, two words are important here in this text as we think about getting ready to fight. First of all, there is the word here in verse 15, gospel. And then there is the word peace. Because the key idea in this text is a readiness produced by the gospel of peace. How do we become ready? By the gospel. Now Paul here does not say we are ready or we have a preparation of the truth of peace, but we have a preparation produced, made, caused by the gospel. Here Paul used a very deliberate word, the gospel. He doesn't speak about law, he doesn't speak about truth, he speaks about the gospel. The gospel means good news. And what Paul wants us to think about here is that to be prepared in our mind to fight, we first of all must have the gospel in our lives. Only the converting power of the gospel can make us ready. And that is why Paul says in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? It is the power of God to salvation. When a person who professes to be a Christian does not have the converting power of the gospel, he is not ready to face the thorn of despondency or the giant of doubt. He is not ready to fight in Vanity Fair. Only a person who has experienced conversion is ready to fight. The thing that makes us ready is not knowing God in the head. The thing that makes us ready is not feeling God in the heart. It's not emotionalism that makes us ready. It's not intellectualism that makes us ready. Why is it that some Christians are so prompt to serve Christ, others are not? Because some feel the power of salvation in their hearts more than others. They're very conscious, very aware of what God does in their lives. We are ready to face the enemy only if we know and sense the converting power of God. Let me explain why. When God converts us, He does not just enlist us into His army. In Singapore, of course, every young man 18, 19 years old has to be enlisted in the army. Boys, when you go into the army, you salute
turners that you do not know. You take commands from generals that you do not know. Maybe you recognize the name, you recognize the face, but there's no intimate relationship with that general. But the gospel is different. When God enlists you into His army, He brings the gospel into your life, converting you. And what He does with the gospel is that He takes you to the cross of Jesus Christ to make you personally know that commander. So that Jesus Christ is not just a commander who orders you, He is your Savior, your Lord in your life. In other words, when you fight for Christ in the battlefield, you fight for a general whom you know personally, who has given his life for you. In other words, this commander is your friend. He is the captain of your salvation. He is your brother. His kingdom agenda is also something which is very personal for you in your life. You're not just fighting under the banner of a country or some political ideas. You're fighting for one whom you know. He gave his life for you. That is why Paul here says, you are ready only because you know the gospel. And then of course the other word is gospel of peace. Peace here means that you no longer fight against God. The gospel that brings you to God to be accepted by God. The gospel does that. The gospel makes us stand with confidence before God so that we are accepted by Him. God no longer considers us as His enemy. Now, by God's grace, we are His covenant friends. And when you and I stand before God because we have the gospel and the righteousness of Christ, God pronounces us righteous. He declares to us that our sins are forgiven and we have a living fellowship with the true and living God. Gospel of peace. We stand on God's side, and God also stands on our side. This is something we have looked at. This is the doctrine of justification by faith alone. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of justification by faith alone, we stand before God as righteous. We are His friend. We stand on His side. And the wonderful application of that truth is God now stands on our side. That is important as we think about Christian warfare. Now, to emphasize this truth, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 35. Before that, we want to read from verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? For it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, this is the wonderful truth of what we have spoken before a few weeks ago, justification by faith alone. We have peace with God, forgiven, righteous in Jesus Christ. We stand before God as innocent. We stand on His side. And the truth here is now, God comes. And not just as a righteous judge, but as a defender of those who are righteous. He defends us. He stands on our side. If God be for us, who can be against us? So with this, we are ready to enter into the battlefield. Even if the enemy should tear our flesh and then beat us and then sometimes murder and kill us with cruelties, and even if sometimes we are tried with all kinds of extreme afflictions, we are not afraid, because God is for us. Who can be against us? Important that we know this, because our day and age is evil. Christians more and more are ostracized. There will come a time when Antichrist will appear, wickedness will abound, and the righteous will be very few. Those will be the times when you will say and cry out, who will be for us? The answer? God will stand for you. Are you ready for those times? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given to us a gospel to make us ready to fight for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we have a God who stands on our side, and because of this we have confidence and we are ready to enter into the battlefield to declare our God reigns. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.